The Mickey Miles Podcast is brought to you by MEI Travel and Mouse Fan Travel, who will handle your family vacation, reunion, honeymoon, corporate incentive trip, or getaway as if it were their own, bringing premium service and expert advice to help you get the most out of your vacation dollar. Visit them at MEI-travel.com or mousefantravel.com. And by All Star Vacation Homes, with locations in Kissimmee and Orlando. All Star Vacation Homes offers you alternatives for your Disney vacation with beautiful and affordable homes, condos, and townhomes near Walt Disney World. Hospitality has a new home, and its name is All Star Vacation Homes. Visit them at allstarvacationhomes.com.
This is Brandon Harrell from Albany, Georgia, and I listen to the Mickey Miles Podcast.
This is the Mickey Miles Podcast. From 5K fun runs to full marathons, this is the podcast that helps you learn everything you need to know about running Disney races. Now, here are your hosts for the Mickey Miles Podcast, Michelle Scribner-McLean and Mike Scopa.
Welcome to episode 203 of the Mickey Miles Podcast. I am one of your co-hosts. My name is Mike Scopa from WDW Today and TouringPlans.com. And the other co-host for the Mickey Miles Podcast is none other than Dr. Michelle Scribner-McLean. Welcome, Dr. Michelle.
Hi, Mike. How's it going?
I'm doing well, Michelle. How are you?
Welcome back. I'm fine. Thank you. Yeah, had a great time in Disneyland. We're going to talk all about it on another show. But I wanted to give a shout out to all the people who were there, everybody who I met. They all missed you and wish you were there. And the shirts this year were kind of neat, but we'll talk about that on another show. Have you seen them?
The shirts?
Yeah.
Yes, I have.
Yeah, they're kind of cool. Did you like them?
They were pretty cool. Yeah. Pretty good. Pretty good.
Well, my reality has started up again because I am off of summer vacation. So it was a great summer, but I have to get back in the swing of things.
That's a summer vacation.
I know. I'm lucky, lucky woman. So I wanted to remind our listeners, especially those who are going to be running the Tower of Terror, that we have a dessert party that we're going to be offering on Thursday night before the race. It's a very small dessert party, and our buddies at MEI Mouse Fan Travel are helping us put it together. And if you want to join us, it's in Fantasmic. And you've been to Fantasmic dessert parties before, Mike?
Yes, I have.
Have you not?
Very comfortable where we usually have these dessert parties. There are tables. You can stretch. You're not bunched in with everybody who's there. It's very, very relaxing. So
good desserts, too.
Yes, very good desserts. It's just nice to stretch out and talk with everyone. And, you know, Michelle, I wanted to mention that you don't have to be a runner to go to this dessert party.
Yes, that's right.
You don't have to be on the Mickey Milers. You don't have to be on any running team. If you just want to have a good time and you want to be able to enjoy Fantasmic with some refreshments, talk to people, you know, you don't have to be a runner.
We're going to allow talking?
Wow. Going to allow talking.
Talking, yes. And eating and watching fireworks.
That's right. Carbo loading.
Yes.
Yes.
So anyway, the link is on the Mickey Miles Podcast Facebook page. So, and there'll be a link in our show notes because that's what our great buddy Rich does for us. So, Mike, today is a question day.
Today is a question day, as always. And what we're trying to do is we're trying to answer as many questions as we can. And Michelle, would you like to start us off with
I'd like to start.
Question from Kelly.
Stop the banter, start the questions. Mm-hmm. And again, a thanks to our buddy Alex who puts these together for us. And this is...
quite romantic, isn't he?
He is, he is. I saw his post on Facebook. So anyway, this is from Kelly. And she says, "Hi, Mike and Michelle. I just discovered your podcast. How have I not found it before? ! I started getting more serious about running this past spring, and I've signed up for my first 10K this fall, which leads me to my first question. I know that I should eat before a long run. Last weekend, I ran 6 miles, and I had 4 ounces of water and a piece of light wheat toast and a thin spread of peanut butter. About 20 minutes later, I started my run. I felt like a ton of liquid was sloshing around in my stomach. Are there other things I can try, or is this going to be the unfortunate feeling that I need to get used to?" So why don't we stop there, Mike?
Kelly, one of the things that I think a lot of runners may not realize, and I'm talking not just new runners, but veteran runners as well. If you've ever listened to Jeff Galloway when he's been on our show, Jeff talks about how to drink when you run, and he also probably is intimating how you should drink before you run. What you want is you want to hydrate your body cells. You don't want to fill up your stomach with water. So it's very important to sip water, those fluids, the night before you're going to run, and just before, but drinking like an eight or a 16-ounce glass of water could lead to that sloshing that you felt. So you may want to try just doing a little bit at a time and see how that works for you.
And so I wanted just to add that two things. Number one, that we've had Diet Diva Tara Guidis come and talk about things like this. If you look for shows that she was on, she'll be able to help you out. But the other thing that I've learned, Kelly, is that everybody's different. I know through running with Mike and other running buddies that what I eat and the way that I get ready is completely different than the way Mike eats. For example, I drink an awful lot. I drink all day long, all the time. When I give blood, my blood comes out really fast, and they tell me it's because I'm very hydrated. So I carry a lot of water with me, and I need a lot of water. Mike is completely different. Mike carries very little and drinks very little when he runs. Right, Mike?
Yeah, but that's not that smart. I remember the first time I ran, I did a 14-mile training run with no water, which was
I know, but just in terms of even when you're feeling good, you drink a lot less than me.
I try to. Well, what happens is that I try to hydrate during the week as much as I can, a little bit every day, so that when I'm ready to run, I don't carry that much. And even Michelle, and you've been with me on long runs, I'll go out with a hydration belt with four bottles, and I'll come back with 2.5.
Right, filled, and I usually come back with none. So what's you have to figure out what works for you. The same thing goes for what you eat. I've said on this podcast before, I have a smoothie before I go out, and Mike does not eat anything at all. But I've had toast, I've had a bagel, that gives me a stomach ache, I don't feel well. I've had other things. What works for me is a smoothie, and that's what I do. So you have to learn what works for you, and it's going to be a trial and error thing, I think, at the beginning.
I think you're right, Michelle. I think, the most important point you made was that everybody is different, mm-hmm. and everybody has to figure out and experiment with what they need, and also know where that threshold is as to how much you need and how much is too much. So
right.
I think that's important.
I don't think I've ever heard anybody say that, they really have a big, like, eggs and bacon and things like that. So I think it's the general rule of thumb is nothing to just a little something. But you have to figure out what that something is. I know Tara Guidis will say that it should be a carb. And she talked about what she eats, a bagel or something like that. But, to each his own. So should we go to the second part of her question?
Let's go to the second part of her
question.
All
right. Her second part of her question really actually gets at how are you going to listen to these other podcasts with Tara Guidis. She says, how can I download older episodes of your excellent podcast? iTunes only shows back to episode 175. My goal is to run a Disney half marathon in 2016, so I have plenty of time to catch up on podcast before then. Thanks for all you do, Kelly. Kelly, this is pretty easy. You're going to go on mickeymiles.podbean.com, and that's our server where all of our podcasts are housed. That's where iTunes goes to find the podcast. You can either listen right online, or if you want to take it with you, you can download the podcast right from there. So that's mickeymiles.podbean.com. Okay?
Good luck, Kelly. Our next question comes from Ian Connor, who says, Dear Michelle and Mike, thank you for a great podcast. I just started listening, and I am really enjoying it and learning a great deal. I was listening to episode 194 and heard a question about apps for running and training plans. I use Adidas MyCoach. I don't know how to pronounce that.
MyCoach,
which allows you to select a training plan for various distances. It is customizable, based on each individual runner's speed ability when they start and varies training with tempo runs, long runs, and sprints each week. It has a voice coaching to tell you when you should speed up or slow down during your runs to stay on the program for that day. I used it to train for my first half in 2012 and have been using it ever since, including for my fall marathon this year in Richmond and for the Dopey. I highly recommend it. I hope this helps and hope to see you in January along with all the other Mickey Milers. Best, Ian Connor from Richmond, Virginia. Michelle, have you heard about MI Coach?
No, you know me. I love to mess around with new technology, so I'm going to try it. He didn't say what platform it works on, so we'll see if it works on iOS or if it works on Android. I have noticed Ian has joined the Mickey Milers and he's podcasting a lot, and this his letter is exactly why we want to have these question shows, and we want people to write in so they can help us learn about things and help our listeners learn about things. So I'm going to give it a shot. So hopefully you've helped other people. Thank you, Ian. All right, our next question is from David Zakrowski. And he says, I will be running my first night race at the 2014 Wine and Dine Half Marathon, and I was wondering how you plan your meals the day of the race. And Dave is from McKenna, Illinois. So, Mike, what do you do?
So, Dave, if you have run any of the morning races, then you probably have a routine that you use. Well, if you take the start time of those races and you move that to the start time for, let's say, the Wine and Dine Half Marathon, which let's say, for the sake of argument, it's 10 o'clock. So instead of 6 o'clock in the morning, it's 10 o'clock at night. What you need to do is you need to back your clock 8 hours, and then doing what you would normally do for the morning races, do that for the night race, because my guess is that you have figured out, as we had said in an earlier question, I think it was Kelly's question, you have figured out what threshold you need, what you need as far as fluids, liquids, and what you need as far as carbs or nutrition or anything before the race. So, for example, and I hope I'm not too long, Michelle, I just want to make sure that I make myself clear. So, if you eat an hour before your 6 o'clock race, and that's a little tiny thing of whatever you eat or drink, think about doing that at 9 o'clock at night before the 10 o'clock race. Then again, if you're like me and you don't like anything in your stomach 12 hours before the race, then maybe you should just concentrate on having a very fulfilling and nutritious breakfast that morning and just have a little something during the course of the day. So that's what my recommendation would be. Michelle, what about how you deal with the nighttime races?
Well, I'm going to mention a Tara episode, too. She talked about this in a recent episode. So those Tara Guidus, the Run Disney Nutritionist episodes, are fantastic because she really goes into this. What I do is I eat a pretty good-sized breakfast, and then I taper down for the rest of the day. So I eat early dinner, lighter dinner, nothing greasy, no alcohol, and then by 5 o'clock I'm done, and I'm just kind of, I'll bring like a snack for waiting in the corrals and things like that. But that's the way that I do it. I think, again, as we said with Kelly, everybody's different. You have to kind of see what works for you. So I would recommend some later nighttime training runs to see what your body feels best with in terms of eating and when you want to taper down. My breakfast is usually like a pancake type of thing in the morning, and then tapering down for the rest of the day. So that's what I do.
One thing I like about nighttime races is that it gives me a chance to eat a salad the day before a race. If it's the night before a morning race, the last thing you want to eat is a salad for obvious reasons. So,
what are those reasons, Mike?
The reasons are that throughput. Throughput. Next question.
Visiting the porta potty.
Next question comes from John from Chicago. And John says, hi, everyone. I'm running my first Run Disney event in January and have a question about characters on the course. I'm planning on running more than waiting in line. I'm planning on running more than waiting in line for characters. But if I pass the seven dwarfs, I would need to stop. Would I need to have my own camera? Or is there normally a PhotoPass photographer? Well, let me turn this over to the character of today's podcast, Michelle Scribner.
So, John, that's a great question. You could do either. You can bring your own camera. I know a lot of people run with a little camera. I run with my phone. I only stop for, you know, characters that I haven't seen in a while, or if I'm with a whole bunch of friends, I'll stop more than that. There is not PhotoPass, although I'm kind of surprised that there isn't. I'm wondering if it's just the mere management of 26,000 times n number of photos. But there is, I'm not sure if it's Marathon Photo or what's the other photo company that Disney uses. What happens is they take your picture, whether it's coming out of the castle or in front of, you know, at the beginning of the race with your friends, and they can ID who you are by your, there's character recognition, and they recognize your race bib. So about 2 days, it's getting less and less. 1 day, 2 days after the race, you will get an email from them asking you to purchase your photos. So you'll probably have one, you'll have several of yourself during the course of the race if you run by a photographer and make your number visible. If you see any characters, and then they also throw in some generic ones, like, you know, like an aerial photo at the start of the race, and some of the close-ups of the characters. Me, I just have a little tiny belt that it holds my phone. I stick it in the back. I never even use it until I need to use it or feel it, and I just pull that out. And there are cast members at the places where there are characters, and they are happy to take pictures, or you have many other runners who are happy to take pictures too. There's my long answer, Mike.
Michelle, what is the Holly Allen rule? Do you remember? For
the Holly Allen rule is that you only stop, it's kind of what I just stated, I've adopted Holly's rule. You only stop for really unusual characters. So if it's I don't know, who do we see all the time? Captain Jack Sparrow, we see a lot of the times. You might not stop for Captain Jack Sparrow, but you might stop for, more obscure character, or the Seven Dwarfs, that type of thing.
Doesn't she have another rule, like so many people in line, 6, 10?
Yeah, I don't know. I guess you have to decide. Mm-hmm. I know that, you know, Mike, do you want to tell your story about how many people you saw at the Dopey?
Oh,
it wasn't
the
marathon.
It was the 5K.
The 5K.
And we were getting close to, I think we were in Germany, and there was a line for, I guess it was Dopey.
Yep.
And it was the only time I saw Dopey during the Dopey inaugural weekend. But anyways, the line was so long that I decided to count. So I was walking by everyone.
We should just say Mike counts everything.
Yeah, Mike counts everything. And I think I got up to, I don't remember
120.
Now. Was it 120?
Yeah,
and
like
I said to the last person, and it was funny, when I was approaching 60, I would say it out loud, "You're 60," and people look at me, "You're 70, you're 80, you're 90, you're 100, and there was this woman who was, and I said, "You're 120. She said, "And worth every moment." So
you don't waste your time waiting in line to see the characters, but you count the people waiting in line.
Exactly.
So you end up with not
that
even
was during a walk
not
break.
Even a picture, but just a fun fact.
Well, we walk in the 5K, so it didn't.
Okay. So anyway, for John, you know, the rule, you have to figure out what the rule of thumb is going to be for you. If it's a character you want, you have to figure out how much extra time you have, you know, how fast you're running. If you see the balloon ladies, you don't want to be stopping. So, that's that. All right. So our next question is from a Mickey Miler, and she actually contributed to our 200th show. Her name is Celeste Lopez, and she says, "Hi, Mike and Michelle. I'm doing the wine and dine, and my husband and I are staying until Tuesday to visit a couple of parks. He has never been to Epcot before, and he'll be waiting for me at the finish line, which gives him some time to explore the park, basically from 10 p.m. to 4 a.m. I think you'll be done by then. I don't know if we should spend another day in Epcot since we only have Sunday and Monday to visit the parks. How much is there to see? We don't want to rush. We know we won't be able to visit all of the parks. Saturday, I was planning to pick up my packet and go to the hotel and rest and enjoy the facilities since we're staying at the yacht, and maybe take a nap and get ready for the race. Should I consider a visit to Epcot before the race? What advice can you tell me to do? Will I see the Beast anytime or somewhere? I'm a big fan of the podcast. You guys are doing great. We know how much time and effort you put into it. Thank you so much. Hoping to meet you and the rest of the Mickey Milers soon. So, Mike, this is an interesting question because probably a not a well-known fact is that both you and I share the same favorite park, which is...
SeaWorld?
You're such a brat.
Epcot is known as the best engineered theme park in the world, and there's a reason for that, and it's because over the last 30 years or so, it hasn't had a need to be expanded because it seems to hold its own. And one of the things, Celeste, that I would suggest for you and your husband is to make sure that, you know, you have some fun after the race, and you'll be able to show your husband Epcot. What might be something you could do is after the, you know, if you can stay during that whole nighttime after race party, it may be quiet in some areas and you can really walk around and show him some things. However, the attractions may not be open. I'm pretty sure they won't be open. So you may want to think about taking that Monday or Tuesday before you leave and really give him a solid tour of Epcot. One of the things that a lot of runners do is they do stay away from Epcot until their race is over because it's the largest theme park, and there's a lot of walking to cover all the real estate there. Visiting the studios, visiting Animal Kingdom, visiting the Magic Kingdom may be the best option before your race, and then after the race, maybe take in Epcot. Michelle?
Well, Epcot is my favorite park. So after the race, you know, we've had mixed luck. Sometimes you can be pretty tired after that race. And I know a lot of our friends have stayed out till the wee hours of the night. I think Epcot is amazingly beautiful at night, and I would see it both at night and during the day. But you have food and wine there during the day, and not all the food and wine carts are going to be open that night after the race. So if you want to take full advantage of the, what is it, like 37, 38 carts, go during the day. I just think he's just going to be blown away. The topiaries are really cool. I think it's just it's like two different parks to me, and so I would definitely make it a 2-day park. That's my advice about that.
Good advice, Michelle.
All right, do we have time for one more, Mike?
Yes, we do, and it's our friend Ian Connor from Richmond, Virginia, with his second question of the show.
Wow.
And Ian says, I am running Dopey in January. Do you recommend trying to maintain the same pace over the four races or varying the paces? My race times over the past year vary by about 2.5 minutes per mile between the 5K and the marathon. Any thoughts would be appreciated. And also, I heard you did a show on race etiquette a while back. I would appreciate if you would do another one ahead of the Walt Disney World Marathon, and I'm sure we will. Now,
Chris Eliopoulos wants to come back on the show, so we'll have to do Chris that because that's
person.
His favorite topic.
Yes, I think that will be fine. So we'll do that sometime before that 2015 marathon weekend. But Michelle, you are the only person on this show right now who has done Dopey, and so I'm going to ask you, you know, what would you tell someone who is approaching Dopey for the very first time? They're dealing with a 5K, 10K, half, and a full. What do you think they should do regarding pace?
So, you know, it was really interesting for me. Ian, I trained with Jeff Galloway, and one of the things that he taught me, which at the beginning was very, very hard, was to dial it back from day one, to really, really, really take my time. So when I was doing training with him, it's very similar to the training that's online if you get the Run Disney if you go and Run Disney and get the Dopey training plan. He doesn't have your times, but he had me going a minute to a minute and a half slower than what I was used to, and it drove me crazy at the beginning. And he also had me doing 4 days in a row, the first 2 days being really just kind of a walk or a walk run. So the 5K was a walk The 10K was really just a very slow walk run. The half marathon was at a pace where I was doing slow intervals, and the marathon, again, those same slow intervals. They're going to be different for me than they were for you. But I have to say, I thought I have to go faster. I felt absolutely fantastic. And I mentioned this on the show before. I walked 10 more miles after the marathon, and I woke up the next day and felt almost no pain. So I would say dial it down. You have to, it's really all about keeping something in your tank for that whole weekend. You're not a race car going out and just going as fast as you can. You have to take your tank and kind of divide it over 4 days and know that at the last day, what's the stat? You've done half the miles when you're at mile, I don't know, we can figure it out, three plus six plus 12. I mean, you've done half the miles when you're at mile, I can't remember what it is.
Oh, yeah.
My brain's not working, I'm a little tired now, but you're well into the marathon before you've done half of your miles for the dopey, so anyway. Slow and steady is the pace. I would go as slow as you can, because this is not something where you're going to get a PR. This is something where it's really an endurance event, and you want to get, Jeff always says you want to end upright and feeling good, and that's what the whole idea is.
Now that you've heard from the voice of experience, you're going to hear from the voice of inexperience, and that's me. What I think Michelle gives the best advice for those
it's really Jeff's advice.
Jeff's advice.
I've lived it though.
But if and when I do the dopey, if and when, drum roll, this is what my plan would be, Michelle. I'm walking the 5K. I'm doing 15 and a half to 16 minute miles for the 10K. I'm doing 14 and a half to 15 and a half minute miles for the half. And then come marathon, whatever I feel.
Mm-hmm.
Because number one, and we've talked about this on many shows, it is so crowded. There's just it makes no sense to try to get a PR at a Run Disney event. You want to enjoy it. You've got characters. You've got friends there. You've got all kinds of themes going. Enjoy yourself. So that's what I would say. You know, it's sort of an endurance event, but it's a fun
sort
event.
Of.
Yeah. Sort of.
Yeah. So, Ian, report back to us what your plans are and how you do. And hopefully we'll get to meet you in January.
Thank you, Ian. Thank you, Celeste. Thank you, John. Thank you, David. Thank you, Kelly, for those questions. And keep them coming. We have some left over, but we ran out of time for this show. So keep them coming, and we promise we will get to them. And also, we also invite any type of ideas anyone may have regarding topics for future podcasts. So please feel free to send those in, post them on our webpage, post them on the Facebook page, and we will try to get to them. Last words, Michelle.
I wanted to mention, too, that we had a lot of people call in for the 200 show, and you can also call in for questions, too. Sure. And that number is 407-545-2141. If you leave a message, we will try our best to play your question right on the show.
I didn't have my pencil, Michelle, when you said that. Could you slow it down a little bit?
That's 407-545-2141.
Thank you very much. So, for Michelle Scribner-McLean and the questions.
What?
We'll see you on the road.
The Mickey Miles Podcast has been brought to you by All Star Vacation Homes, who offer you the highest quality of vacation homes for your next Walt Disney World vacation, especially if you are looking for luxury, convenience, and above all, affordability. Hospitality has a new home, and its name is All Star Vacation Homes. Visit them at allstarvacationhomes.com. And by MEI-Travel and Mouse Fan Travel, serving the Disney community for over 15 years with expert advice and fee-free services to help you maximize your vacation dollar and time. Give them a try at mei-travel.com or mousefantravel.com.
Thanks for joining us on today's episode of the Mickey Miles Podcast. The Mickey Miles Podcast is not affiliated with, authorized, or endorsed by, or in any way officially connected with Run Disney, the Walt Disney Company, Disney Enterprises, Inc., or any of their affiliates. We hope you enjoyed listening. Our discussion continues on Facebook at facebook.com/Mickey Miles Podcast, where you can give us your comments and feedback on the show. You can also follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/Mickey Miles Pod. And if you have any questions for us, you can send them to questions@MickeyMilesPodcast.com. We'll try to answer them as soon as possible. For all of us here at the Mickey Miles Podcast, this is Rick Gregg saying until next time, thanks for listening, and we'll see you on the road.